Miller's more of a problem. Okay. White House.
Bush.
And I said, it's going to be George Bush. He said, great, perfect. Right. And I have to say, I'll take the SEC. I don't. We discussed it this morning. together as a veteran, do your best. And then make the other fall happy and say, look, you go up and you tell Cook that basically he's too damn young, whatever you want to call him.
That's not a movie about that 2 years.
Yeah. I think the woman is fine for AEC. It's plus 2 years old. What do you think, John? Which I thought was pretty nice. That's very well done, yeah. And he was lying there.
You can't do it. You've got to, it doesn't mean you isolate.
mentioned by one bit.
Dick Moore's got an interesting point that I think is a reasonably good effect. He says one of the strongest weapons you have in a panel show is something that has been written by one of their colleagues or by the individual himself that you can turn on. Crosley Noyes had a column yesterday morning on the question whether the president should consult with the Congress or the press or others when he's in a negotiation. And Noyes' thesis is he should not. But the way he starts out, he says, a lot of people in this town who think they are entitled to be consulted with, among them my colleagues, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's what's killing them, you see, because Johnson and even Kennedy used to call them in here and ask their opinion.
Makes sense.
Rather than
basically indicate to them that we intend to proceed on the assumption that if we can get the conditions that we talked to them about, explain to President Chu, we intend to proceed, that you intend to proceed, sir, to an agreement, and that it's in their interest that we're proceeding this way. It'll be in the long-term interest of South Vietnam to proceed this way, and that we need them to go along with us if we're going to be able to continue the kind of support that you want to give South Vietnam.
Is that the thing you discussed with him? Is that, you've got to assume that when they say to these people, this is likely to get out. Did you suggest that, having in mind that this might get out?
Oh, yes, sir. This is exactly what we've been saying to them.
Right. All right. That is when you talk to him, I'm surprised that I'm interested.
Yes, he's just calling in to check to be sure we're battery over there.
Well, I don't say anything else to say exactly so that we based on the that nothing has happened up to this night, it changes the signals in that way. But you should take a very firm line with the South Vietnamese to the effect that we are going to proceed. Those circumstances must be significant. could be blamed.
I suspect we will, but probably not before Wednesday.
Well, I just want to emphasize, John, don't get bogged down. You see, here's the point. We spent a month right after the election working on reorganization and appointment signs. It took a little while. It probably is worthwhile in the long term. In the short term, it's not very helpful.
Yep.
When can I get out?
When
the show. start the process?
Well, I'll start it right away.
Yeah,
I can do it anytime. And it'll depend in large measure on what your desires are, and I take it you're not going to do anything till after the inauguration in any event.
No, not in the process.
Yeah. So then I'll adjust my... Then I'll just adjust my appearances to what your plans are from time to time, so that there's no redundancy. But what I'll try and do is go out with a given subject, and usually one that we would rather see you stay away from. I'll go out on civil rights, or I'll go out on, you know, some damn thing. Yeah, something. And spend a few minutes and lay it out. Take questions on that, and then anything else they've got on their minds.
Good.
And try and keep the thing moving.
Good.
That way.
Particularly the domestic stuff, we well know. You well know. I'm trying to get down to it. As we have learned from a long experience, when I do meet the person later, I'm going to be asking about all four of them.
Sure.
You know, that's true. Huh?
That's right. But
let me say, that is why I'm very interested in you're doing this, because if they get into the domestic things, and they may get into the question, they say, well, it's true.
Exactly.
I think that's just delicious. Exactly. You say the properly to move. You go up and give them something to write.
Well,
it gets us our posture with the Congress, because the administration guidance and leadership that they have to be.
By John doing that and speaking, then it builds his position for dealing with the Congress.
Well, but it also gives us a fallback, and you can come out if they say, well, you know, 2 weeks ago Ehrlichman said so and so. You're in a perfect position to say, well, I don't think I would have put it quite that way.
Sure.
And then take off on whatever line on
line
reaction we see we should have been on.
I would put it this way.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can do a little course correcting as we go along, depending on the reaction we get. And so that's one thing. Another thing that we're working on is, and I've mentioned this to you before, is a school or orientation the latter part of February for cabinet, sub-cabinet, agency heads, and key people to teach them what the policy is, how to work with the White House, how to use the OMB, those kinds of things. How to clear testimony, nuts and bolts kind of stuff.
What about the school for the Republican members of the Congress?
Well, I've been talking to Bill a little bit about not Republicans, but a bipartisan swinging unit of supporters. Maybe we can assemble 50, 60, 70 guys that we can always count on. That's right. And maybe some other kinds of Democrats.
Yeah.
Now, I had this young freshman senator from Louisiana come up to me here the other night, and he said, I voted with you today, and I just want to let you know that I'm going to be with you all the time I'm here. And I said, Senator, that's, you know, music to my ears. And he said, no, I mean it. He said, I'm a team player, and I'm on your team.
That's
right. And I said, okay, great. And I put his name on the list. I mean, that's the kind of guy that we ought to be just cultivating the hell out of.
You know, we didn't come out too bad on the fall getting the lip thing.
That's right. That's right.
Because he's going to be with us more than against us.
Great.
Especially on Vietnam, on the foreign policy, and he's with us completely. But he's, he, they'll force him to California.
Yes.
They'll force him to take the party thing on some things, but he is a super Nixon admirer now.
And he's out in the paper this morning saying so.
What did he say?
Oh, he said, I can't disagree with the way the president's handled this. They were after him on consulting with the Congress and so on.
The president's done it exactly right. Is he the president? Yeah, that area.
I don't know.
It's in there.
Sacramento.
Sacramento or Tulare or Fresno or in the valley, something like somewhere.
I wonder how he became. Oh, he probably carried his sister.
Well, he's a...
He's been with you all along.
One of the deputy whips.
Excellent admirer.
Tip O'Neill's high on
him.
So, now, Brademus is another deputy whip, and he is all partisan and fire and brimstone, and he's got a nasty article in the op-ed page of the Times today, and he'd be breathing down McFaul's neck.